There's plenty of seats for close to us. It is my honor to introduce Rabbi Yudin this evening to discuss the life and the lessons that we can learn from David Lifshitz. I only have one personal note, and that I have the personal zechus to actually live in the apartment that Rabbi David lived in for many, many years when he was on this campus learning in our Beis Medrash, giving shiurim 50 years. Rabbi David, unlike many of the other Rosh Yeshiva who gave shiurim here, Rabbi David lived in our community and acted as a leader for our community members and as for our yeshiva. Rabbi Yudin has been teaching, the Talmud of Rabbi David has been teaching in our yeshiva for many, many years, in what was formerly known as JSS, what is now known as the Mechina program, and he is the Rav of a shul in Fairland, New Jersey, and he is here to tell us tonight a little bit about his experiences and the lessons that he takes with him from being in the presence of Rav David Lifshitz.
Good evening, Shalom Aleichem. I've never served as a shliach tzibur for the Yom Noraim, and especially for Musaf, for the Yom Noraim. So it's very easy to follow the tefillah that the Chazan begins with, and I can appreciate tonight with great trepidation what he means when he says Hineni Heoni Mimas, which means literally I stand there bereft of proper qualifications, nirash, trembling and nifchad and frightened. The task before me tonight to try to communicate to you who didn't have the schus to interact with such an extraordinary individual, I just am nervous in terms of missing the mark. There is a famous Tana to Rebbe Eliyahu Rabbah, it happens to be Perichof Hei, which teaches Chayav Kolodom Lomar Mosai Yagiyu Ma'asai L'Ma'asei Avosai. Literally, a person is supposed to say, and each individual is supposed to say, when will my actions, Ma'asai Yagiyu, when will they reach Ma'asei Avosai? So the word yagiyu can mean just that. In other words, my avos that preceded me were great. I will work that hopefully my ma'asim can reach theirs. The Kutzka explained this, no, not to reach, but from the word nagiya, simply to touch. And therefore, what I will endeavor to do this evening is to try to give us a touch, a little bit of a taste of what this very special Rebbe was. The reason why I'm going to begin with the biographical sketch is because I think Reb David, who, as we'll hear in a moment, and I'm sure many of you know, was a Rav in Suwalk. And he served as a Rav for approximately 5 years. 5 years in his 30s, and that title of Suwalk a Rav stayed with him all his life. And I'll try to explain to you how his being a practicing Rav, and especially in such a turbulent time in our history, from 1935 to 1940, his being a Rav impacted on all of his other endeavors that he did throughout the years. He was born in Minsk, in Russia, in 1906. His grandfather, Reb Shlomo Zalman, was a mechaber of a sefer on Kachim, the Olas Shlomo. As a young boy, he was recognized as a prodigy because prior to his bar mitzvah, he wrote a perush on Mishlei with one of his chaverim, Avraham Rosenstein, who they entitled it Tal Yelados. This Rosenstein excelled in his own way and not only changed his name, but compiled the dictionary Even Shoshan. This will help explain, when we fast forward into the 60s, when I was zocheh to have Reb David as a Rebbe, and there was the transition at that time. I heard shiurim from Reb David in Yiddish. There was a transition at that time. Many of the rabbeim, including the Rav, Zichrono Livracha, changed and recognized that most of the Talmidim were not fluent and comfortable in Yiddish. Most turned to a broken English. Reb David spoke a perfect Ivris, and he had this already from his youth. As I'm showing, he was literally able to compile a perush on Mishlei prior to his bar mitzvah. In 1919, his family moved to Grodno. And there, he became a Talmid of the late Rav Shimon Shkup, who headed the yeshiva Shar HaTorah in Grodno, and the impact, the relationship that he had with the late Reb Shimon Shkup was so profound that when he quoted his Rebbe, and he did so often, it was never without Mori V'Rabbi Reb Shimon Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and you were able to see when he gave over a piece of Torah from his Rebbe, you were able to see that connection which he had with his Rebbe. He learned under Reb Shimon for 5 years. And then at the age of 18, Reb Shimon encouraged him to join what was in those days the progression of Limudim, that he went to the Mir, and there he learned in the Mir for 7 years. He became close to the Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Eliezer Yehuda Finkel, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and to the famous Mir HaMashkiach, Rabbi Yeruchim Levavitz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. To say that he knew Kitzos, Nesivos, and the parish of Reb Akiva Eger would be shortchanging his ability. He had it most baal peh. Talmidim recall, and I'm jumping, but just that you should see about his incredible love of Torah and memory of Torah, he would tell the Bachrim, because I recall so vividly having had the schus of learning in his shir, and he would read Rishonim inside, and he would make sure that we followed inside. And there were times when he would read the Rishon, but he wasn't on the right page. He knew it by heart. That's how thorough he was in his learning. When he was 24 years old, Rabbi Yosef Yaslovitz, Zichron Levracha, who was the Rav in Suvalk, came to the Mira Rosh Yeshiva and was looking for a chasan. Interestingly, while today 24 is not considered young for a chasan, it was somewhat young then. Reb David was recommended, and he married the daughter of the Suvalka Rav, the late Tzipora Chava, and he moved to Suvalk. And there, without having a quote title, assistant rabbi, he joined and assisted and worked together with his shver, with his father-in-law, in all inyanei of the kal. Unfortunately, but 2 years later, his father-in-law passed away, and so he married in 1933. In 35, he became, with the endorsement of the late Rav Chaim Ozer, Radzinsky, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, he became the Suvalk of Rav. There were over 10,000 Jews in Suvalk. There were over 27 Bate Knesios in Suvalk. It wasn't simply that, and I can start enumerating activities that he did. He, to the best of his ability, and remember, we're talking 35, and the winds politically for the Jews was unfortunately blowing in a very negative direction. Any which way to strengthen the yeshivos, Jewish boys that were conscripted into the Polish army, he arranged to have shiurim for them. He personally raised the money for kosher food for them. He didn't start his own Seder every year until he first made a Seder for the boys in the Polish army. I'm going to tell you one story because it says so much about his nature. Rav David Mori Varabi was a person who was motivated by doing the right thing, and because his sincerity literally came across without any question whatsoever, it didn't matter whom he was talking to. So you can only imagine that not everybody in Suvalk was from. And so a great majority of the youth in Suvalk were sports-minded, and they belonged to a Maccabi organization. And very simply, in order to have and to raise money for their soccer teams, they had dances which they scheduled for Friday night. Rav David came into the office, and I can read to you the part where the young teenager at the time recalls how Rav David came in to see him, and by his garb and appearance, he writes, he looked to be an Orthodox Jew. He wore a long black coat reaching almost to the ankles. He sported a long black bushy beard. I was puzzled why such an individual would come to a secular Jewish sports organization. To my utter dismay, I soon found out. He spoke up, I'm looking for, and I'm not sure I'm pronouncing the name correctly, but Widzdor Zik, The bottom line is, why would he single me out? All right? The only explanation I can offer is that I was quite instrumental in organizing the club, and I was one of the few appointed to run the dances. After a few moments, I composed myself, and what can I do for you? He said very simply, you should not have dances on the Shabbos. You should not be playing on the Shabbos. Now, Reb David came and made a machoa. He made a protest. Did he really believe that because he came, they would stop? How do we know this story? Because the gentleman, who at that time was a teenager, writes that he survived the war, and he came in 1941, when Reb David and his family, and I'll tell you a little bit about that transition, came. So he came back to visit with Reb David, and at that time this man was still not yet an observant Jew. He came and he writes, he was surprised, but he didn't even realize he came without a yarmulke, in which they gave him a yarmulke. When he first came, Reb David did not necessarily recognize him, but as soon as he mentioned the name, so he called out to his Rebbetzin, Tzipora, come quick, Merhabin, Echoshev Agast. We have a special guest. And Reb David greeted him warmly, the same youth who ran the dances, to say that he had an incredible sense of Avas Yisrael. I'm missing the mark. Masayagiyu, we're just touching. But I want you to know that because he had this, quote, on-the-job training as a Rav, when he came here, and again I'm fast-forwarding, but you'll see how it all comes together, when he came here to our yeshiva, one of the very first things that he did was establish a Shmiras Shabbos campaign in the neighborhood, meaning those stores owned by Jewish merchants, he got Talmidim to go, to visit during the week, to go on Shabbos, not to throw stones, but to make a macha. And we'll come back to this, because it's very, very important how it reflects his genuine love for each and every Jew. Unfortunately, as the years moved on in his Rabbanus and the political times were getting worse, so unfortunately, in 1939, when Jews were being rounded up by the Germans, he risked his life on many occasions to try to free them from the authorities. Again, the family writes that they came to him one night and put a knife to his throat, demanding the knives of Shechita, that Shechita would have to stop in Suwalk. He chose to stay in the community until the very end when he had to, and the very end that he had to, Nebach, just to show you what unfortunately he went through, he tried by sending his wife, his mother-in-law, and two daughters to cross the border into Lithuania. One daughter was 5 years old, and that's the daughter Sholamis, who's married to Rav Nosson Kamenetsky, the son of the late Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. They were mechutanim. She was 5 years old at the time. There was another baby of 5 months. The baby of 5 months cried at the wrong time. Lo aleinu, she was shot and killed in her mother's arms. It was such bedlam that Sholamis, the five-year-old, was separated from mother and grandmother. She went back to Suwalk. They were only able to sit Shiva for 3 days, and then they had to go and try to find their daughter. We can only imagine the personal impact that this made upon him. And even then, it was only the community that bore down upon him that he had to leave Suvalk, literally, to run for his life. It took a year's time. They crossed over into Lithuania to get papers to come to this country. They traveled through Russia to Honolulu and finally to San Francisco. Now, in 1941, he was invited to become a Rosh Yeshiva in Chicago, as what is known as the Hebrew Theological College, and there he stayed until 1944. In 1944, he was given two offers, one to be Rosh Yeshiva in Tor Vadas, and the other one at our yeshiva, Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan. Why did he come here? Two reasons. Number one, his Rebbe, Reb Shimon Shkup, had served as Rosh Yeshiva here in our yeshiva until he was called back to Europe by Reb Chaim Ozer. But secondly, he was told what was the primary nature in the way it was described to him, the difference between Tor Vadas and our yeshiva. Tor Vadas, he was told, was to make frum balabatim, and our yeshiva was to train rabbonim, and he chose the latter. And there's no question how he impacted so strongly on so many rabbonim, myself included, and I'll share in a few moments some of the personal involvement. But he was, if I say he was masur to his Talmidim, again, I'm missing the mark. When I mean masur, I mean, and if we have time, we'll do the Rashi together on the Shinantam Levonecha, that the Rebbe looks upon his children as Elu Talmidecha, but that the Talmidim should look upon the Rebbe as a father. This very personal relationship, father, son, Rebbe Talmud, was there. And he had this, naturally, for those who were in his shir, that he was learning with on a regular basis, but it was not uncommon. In the wintertime, he would stop a boy. Where is your coat? He had that concern. And you'll forgive me, in the summertime, right, when some of the boys might be somewhat underdressed and wearing shorts, etc., he would go over to them and in the sweetest way possible speak their language and tell them that perhaps this is not in the best way to honor the environment of the yeshiva. He cared for each and every one. It's one thing to say that Kol Yisrael Arevim Ze Lo Ze. It's another thing to live it and to do it. And he did it as the Rav Chisna learns. Arevim not only cosign is responsible, but from the word Arev, sweet. He did it in a very sweet way. When he came to our yeshiva, the Rav, Zichron Levracha, had the highest shir, and beneath the Rav was Rav Belkin, Zichron Levracha, Rav David Lifshitz, Zichron Levracha, and Rav Shatskis, Zichron Levracha. There's no question but that he was overshadowed, understandably, by the Rav. Yes. He taught Mesechta's Gittin, Kedushin, Ksubos, Chulin, and Shabbos. And people think that was only his area. One of our Rosh Yeshiva today told me that when he was a Talmud in the yeshiva, Reb David would always stop him and ask him, what are you learning? And he would always tell him a Dvar Torah on that daf. So once when Reb David said to him, he figured, okay, he was young, and he said, he asked, what are you learning? He said, Erevin Daf Chaf Aleph. And Reb David didn't blink. He told him a Dvar Halacha. and a chidushei Torah on Erevin Chaf Aleph. His breadth of Torah was fantastic and recognized. When he came to the yeshiva, and I'm going to read to you a letter that appeared in Eretz Yisrael not too long ago, that the family is very proud to have. They sent me a copy about a Talmud who, when he saw the sign in 1993 of Reb David's Petira, he sent the following letter. I'm sure you recall the day he arrived in the yeshiva, meaning here, from Chicago. Beruach se'ara, literally, he took the yeshiva by storm, and you'll see what that means in a moment, with his Talmidim. Now, I'm reading the letter as is. Whitey Horowitz, known, or very, that was the way his kinui was. This is Beis Medrash LaTorah in Eretz Yisrael. Judah Stamford, Gene Geller, Moshe Goldberg. These were Talmidim in 44 who came from Detroit, and it was a fresh ruach which took the yeshiva by storm. Firstly, the very fact that boys followed their Rebbe to a distant city made a profound impression. And secondly, the caliber of the boys that came with him was extremely high. And finally, Rav Lifshitz Zatzal was a man with much willpower, spirit, determination, inspiration, and this became a permanent addition to the yeshiva. And I'll give you a few examples therefrom. He came to the yeshiva and clearly davened, and the first week that he davened, he was not happy with the machitza. He didn't call a meeting. He personally arranged for the mechitza to be raised the next Shabbos. And so it was. It didn't go down well with many, but he was that man of action. I want to go, because unfortunately I'm looking at the clock already, that's no good. I want to go to a very insightful shmooze that he gave in 1944. I wasn't at that shmooze. I thank Rabbi Rosenzweig, father of Rabbi Beryl Rosenzweig, father of the Rosh Yeshiva, who remembers. Now look at the impact this made. When he spoke to the Talmidim about Shmira Shabbos, he shared with them something which I will share with you, which I have in my hand, the Sefer Be'er Yosef from Rav Yosef Salant. And he quotes from the Mechilta the idea that Zohar v'Shamor Shneim b'dibur echad nemru, which we're all familiar with. Now, the list of all the others of dibur echad are understandable because they are almost bipolar. Mechalaleho mos yomus, says the Torah regarding Shabbos, and yet of Yom HaShabbos Shnei Kevasim, you are to have the slaughter of korbanos on Shabbos. So they are almost contradictory one to another. But yet, shneim diborecha nemru. Ervas eshes avich achicha. The Torah says, you're not to marry your brother's wife. And yavama yavama leha. And so we have several of these dibur echad. But why is zachar and shamar b'dibur echad? So, because at first glance, they don't seem to be contradictory one to another. Zohar we all know is the positive, and Shamar is the negative. Where is this element of contradiction within the two? So the Be'er Yosef has a thesis, the one that Mori V'Rabbi, Reb David Lifshitz, gave very powerfully to the Talmidim, and that is as follows. If a person has an opportunity to be moche, and a responsibility, hocheach tochiach es amisecha. If a person, my neighbor, unfortunately, is not yet keeping kosher, if I have the chance to be mochiach, and I don't, So what have I violated? Are you going to say I violated macholos asuros? Chas v'shalom. Come into my house. My house is glad kosher. So you're going to start thinking, lo samar odam reyecha. You're going to say to me that all different possibilities, kol Yisrael arevim, not so regarding Shabbos, that shomor es yom Shabbos lekadsho is very simply pshuto kimashmo'o. You are to be shomer Shabbos. You are to guard the Shabbos. Not only that you can't transgress Shabbos, but that Shabbos cannot be broken. And therefore, if you have a chance to correct the next person's Shmira Shabbos, and you don't, there's a Reyesa in your Shabbos. And the Raya from this comes from the Gemara Shabbos Nun Dalet, where the Gemara speaks about Poroso Shabbos Ben Azaria. So we know that there is this concept in halacha of shvisas behemto. My behema cannot work on Shabbos. And there was a practice among some people to bedeck, adorn your animals, etc. So the question is, can you have the animal with any kind of a adornment on Shabbos? So the Mishnah says that poraso shebalaza ben Azaria yoyotza birtsua shebein karneha, the para of Rebalaza ben Azaria actually did it, shelo birtson chachamim. And this was not in keeping with the chachamim. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. Now, lo shelo haisa, it wasn't his para. Who was it? Shchein aso. It was his neighbor's para. But because he didn't what? Speak out and protest, Nikreis al Shemo. It's called Paraso Shel Rebeloza Ben Azaria. And this was the fire, and that's the only word I can use, that Reb David used to arouse the Talmidim and had them realize that it's not simply that I have to help to be Mefayes, a storekeeper, to close his store on Shabbos, so that he'll have, no, your Shabbos is incomplete if he is not keeping Shabbos. This was the incredible bren that he brought, not just to the shir, to the environment in Washington Heights when he came. Simchas Torah in the yeshiva is a very different Simchas Torah once Reb David came to the yeshiva. He made, his presence was one that everybody felt. I go back to this letter that the family cherishes. Says the author, I see him as a man who could come to a wedding that had mixed ballroom dancing and get up, grab the hand of any man and start Baruch Elokeinu Shebranu Lechvodo, and not just make, quote, the macha, but he would persist until he had something going that other men joined in the circle. Here was, again, a rav, a person who felt not only the responsibility of Vishinantam Levanecha, of going into the classroom. And I know on a personal level that what a treat it is when one is a Rav and has the many responsibilities of community life upon them, to be able to go into a classroom and close the door and forget for the 2 hours that you're there with the Talmidim all that there is. But here was a man that, and again, because he was a Rav, and because he had developed this love and compassion for each and every Jew, this came out. Kumnemta. There are certain phrases that just stick in my mind. Kumnemta literally means come closer. I look at it And I cherish the fact, I recall, that as a Talmud, I sat almost on his desk, very close to the Rosh Yeshiva. And I learned how important it is to be medayek in Rishonim, inside from him. But I want to just, again, give you a little bit as to what he was. Just one incident, again from that letter. A friend of his youth, an important Rav, died young. And this was confirmed because Rav Nassim Kamenetsky told me the name of this Rav. The group of surviving friends undertook to maintain the almana and the small yisomim. But the only one who really came through and did so to this very day that this was written, some 40 years later, was Rav Lishitz Zatzal. And that was not all, adds the son, who's now a Zeda. He would faher me, he would rise shticker literally from me, and not only when I was a boy, a young man, even when I was a grown man with a wife and children. Let me share a few personal incidents. Before my wedding, he called the home of my late in-laws, asked to speak to my father-in-law, who was not at home. My Kala was the one who answered the phone. So Reb David asked her, spoke a perfect Hebrew, asked if she spoke Hebrew, which she did, and asked her, Hakonis es horitim, did you buy your furniture? I never asked Rav Simon and Rav Cohen and the other Rosh Yeshiva who are here if they call and ask the... But again, it was a way of establishing a personal relationship with everybody. He was so special. He was the Sandik at my Bechor's Bris. I remember because it was in Crown Heights. We lived here in Washington Heights. He traveled, but he didn't only travel. My wife had a cesarean, so she couldn't be at the bris. In those days, they kept you in bed longer than they do today. Very simply, he insisted on coming to the house, in coming up, in telling her everything was okay, in wishing her refuah shleima. It's that extra mile that he went. And this is what he did in everything. When I came to a community, which I was zochet to establish an Orthodox community, it was started by our yeshiva, the Orthodox community in Fairlawn. We started with 17 families. So the name that they came up with was the Orthodox Congregation of Fairlawn. Okay, I was proud of it. And the name itself said something, because prior to our coming, there were only conservative and there was a reform. And after a year, he said to me, Binyamin, you have to have a name, and the name should include Torah. So we chose Shomrei Torah. But he wanted to impress upon the community that we are Machzikei Torah, Shomrei Torah, the concept as to what we are projecting. He was one who got involved with all areas of your personal life. A simple thing. Our daughter, Baruch Hashem, was born. We weren't crazy about the name Vichna, but we wanted to honor that grandmother. So within a moment, he explained to me, and I'll explain to you afterward, Myriv, if you want, how he got from Vichna to Chaviva. But it's the idea that you weren't imposing. You felt that you had somebody who you can turn to for all issues. Very quickly, this following case came to mind. In my early years of Rabbanis, I had a situation where a grandmother was sitting Shiva for a sister. And her grandchild's wedding, which had been scheduled long before, fell out in the middle of the week of her Shiva. Can she go to the wedding? She asked her rabbi. I asked the Rav. You know what the Rav told me? Ask Rav Lifshitz. Now the Rav knew Hilchos Avelos, but he also knew that if anybody could, would go that extra mile, it would be Reb David. It's getting close to the time of baking matzahs. So we're all familiar with the story that what should we look for? They asked the head of the Musa movement, when you go and bake, when you go and bake matzahs. So he said to them very simply, go and make sure that you're careful with the almanos, who are the ones who are rolling the dough, and don't yell at them, etc. I was told that when Reb David went to the matzah bakery, it was like a yontif. They all stopped and they greeted him. And it took 10, 15 minutes, which, believe me, in a matzah bakery, no one's got 10, 15 minutes. He gave a personal shalom aleichem to each and every person because this was him. He had this incredible ability to make everybody feel good. He had, now I have to watch my words very carefully. I really believe this, that number one, he was able to empathize with a situation, that he was an outstanding orator, not a short one, but outstanding orator, always filled with a great deal of Torah. But when he cried at Levayas, and he did this often, he really was able to be Moshech the Tzibur, to feel the loss. The clock is running against me. I'm just going to conclude with two very quick points. The Hafla in his Hakdama to Ksubos writes, and you can just make a note of the Pasuk, is from Koheles, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yud Aleph, whereby Shlomo Melech says, Tova Chachma im Nachala. And the Hafla goes on to explain that Chachma is our own harvin in Torah, and Nachla is that which you received from your Rabbeim. V'yoser l'roei shemesh. And he goes on in his Hakdama to explain what that means, roei shemesh, that the shemesh is the Moshe, because Yoshua, the Gemara Bava Basra, compares Yoshua to the Levana, compared to Moshe as the shemesh. The greatness of Reb David is, as the Gemara in Abravin said, that Rebbe said, Hai, t'mechadidna mechavroi, the reason why I was sharper, and the reason why perhaps I was more outstanding from my chaverim, d'chazite l'rab meya meachorei, because I had that personal contact with my Rebbe. Reb David never forgot Reb Shimon. Reb David never forgot Reb Chaim Ozer. Reb David never forgot Reb Baruch Ber. They made such a powerful, profound impression upon him. And he, in turn, was the one that, to the best of his ability, was able to allow us to be magia, to at least touch some of that greatness. I began by saying that I feel inadequate, and I have to end with nothing less than an apology, because I know that I have only touched so slightly on what was such a special Rebbe. And if I have to sum it up again, that Rashi speaks about the relationship, ideal relationship between a Rebbe and a Talmud. We had it here in our yeshiva. And halavai, this is what we have to aspire to reconnect with. But literally, to be able to turn to a Rebbe and discuss any and all personal shyness, to know that he was genuinely concerned, to literally bring boys into his apartment. If a boy did not eat breakfast, he would come in, etc. That he had such kavod for the Rabbanus and Kavod HaTorah. One of my chaverim I saw the other night at a wedding, I said, told him I would be here. Tell me about Reb David. I'll tell you, once I came to his apartment in the morning, breakfast time, unannounced. And the Rebbetzin came to the door. I asked, etc., if I can please talk with him. I was able to see, he says, through the kitchen door, that Reb David was sitting and he ate breakfast without his coat. Reb David, when he realized that a Talmud was there, immediately ran out and put on his appropriate Prince Albert that he wore in order to ever perpetuate that very special rapport. Not for any pompous, no. It was the idea that he was that embodiment of Tenu Kavod LaTorah. How fortunate we were as individuals, how fortunate the yeshiva was to have him, how fortunate the community was. He was involved in the presidium of the Agudas HaRabbanim. He was for 15 years the head of Ezra's Torah. Before Pesach, he would give me every year a list for Ma'os Chitim, and they included primarily and especially Almanos, as I mentioned before, of Gedolim, people that unfortunately after a while get lost between the cracks. Not so by this very special Gadol with a very special heart, who for almost 50 years said Shi'urim in our yeshiva and certainly help instill into our yeshiva a very special Ruach. And I pray that we will continue to bring him nachas by our hasmada and by our following in his ways, by our recognizing that he came here to produce Rabbanim and Man Malchei, who really, in my mind, is a melech. I was privileged to feel, to touch, to watch, to observe a true king in Israel. His name happened to have been David. But I really believe David, Melech Yisrael, Chai V'Kayyom.